Welcome back, friends. We talked about how the gift of divine sonship and daughtership is a gift. It's not an entitlement, and we need to have belief, acceptance, and will. Now, we're going to go a little deeper into the Father revealed by the Son. From Catechism 238. Many religions invoke God as Father. The deity is often considered the Father of gods and of men. In Israel, God is called Father, inasmuch He is creator of the world. Even more, God is Father because of the covenant and gift of the law to Israel, the firstborn son. God is also called the Father of the King of Israel. Most especially, he is the father of the poor, of the orphaned, and the widowed who are under his loving protection. But here's a bit of a turn now for the Christian. Catechism 239. By calling God Father, the language of faith, the Catholic faith, indicates two things: that God is the first origin of everything and transcendent authority, and He is at the same time goodness and loving care for all of his children. God's parental tenderness can also be expressed by the image of motherhood, which emphasizes God's immanence, the intimacy between creator and creature. The language of faith thus draws on the human experience of parents, who are, in a way, the first representatives of God for men. But this experience also tells us that human parents are fallible and can disfigure the face of fatherhood and motherhood. We ought therefore to recall that God transcends the human distinction between the sexes. He is neither man nor woman, he is God. He also transcends human fatherhood and motherhood, although he is their origin and standard. No one is father as God is father. And so here's a remark, and I'll let Sarah. This is a consoling statement. We recognize our poverty and humility and thus seek remedies for it from the holy source, only source possible. And nota bene, Jesus never directly refers to God as mother, nor does he ever teach his disciples to do so. It is by analogy that Jesus refers to the Father as a mother hen who wants to gather her chicks. Jesus directly teaches us to call God Father.
Yeah, I mean, God in the concept of fatherhood, I think is I don't know, I mean, how I would say this, but besmirched in the modern world, because instead of looking to the heights and seeing what goodness fatherhood should be, we try and find the basest element here with which to accuse him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I love that concept of anthropology, you know, the concept that it means it's man who looks up, right? That is the difference, that, you know, that's where the word anthropos comes from, theoretically, the one who looks up, right? Man who looks up. And yet, so when you turn your gaze away from God and you're no longer looking up, you can't help but see the dirt. That's all that you see. And I think that, unfortunately, we have, in a desire maybe to come to grips with the fact that our parents are fallible, our fathers are flawed men, we want to pretend that God is like them, as opposed to trying to find the divine elements in our own fathers. We love them not because they themselves are good men. We love them, first of all, simply because they precede us in the order of humanity. And without them, we aren't. Much like God, he precedes all things in the order of creation. And without him, it is not. And so he's premier. And that element of paternity is wholly lost now, I think, in the human mindset. Because that's, we don't want anyone to be premier.
That's right.
Right,
that's,
we all want to be equal. We don't want to pretend, we don't want to assent to the fact that we are dependent upon someone else. That it was the actions of another that caused us to be here. You know, the whole concept of evolution has made this concept more along the lines of you're just here by chance, mm-hmm. as opposed to being here by design. And yet that's that whole concept, you know, like we're even like all of these different terms that we would have, like a husband, you know, we use that term when we'll talk about animal husbandry. Well, what does that mean then? You know, we use these terms and we never really think about any context behind them. But, you know, presumptively, they have relevance in terms of what does it mean in that masculine element of human creation. There's something there that we're supposed to be learning from, and not least of which is simply to recognize that we're not self-sufficient and we owe our being to someone else. And that alone is sufficient for respect.
That is right. That is right. Catechism 240. Jesus revealed that God is Father in an unheard of sense. He is Father not only in being Creator, He is eternally Father by His relationship to His only Son, who, reciprocally, is Son only in relation to His Father. And so we go back to that prior quote that I started with. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. So we look at Jesus to know the heart of the Father, and the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Sacred Heart in this apprehension of knowledge. And so Sarah touched on the problem. Our tendency is to measure God's fatherhood by personal experience. We project onto God man's deficiency. Our age is impoverished in its understanding of fatherhood. Fathers, both natural and spiritual, are portrayed, and sadly sometimes are, as expendable buffoons, as Sarah mentioned earlier, absent, abusive, gumball machines for goodies. These deformations get projected onto God the Father, and instead of the perfect attributes of the Father illuminating the actions of man top down, it is rather bottom up. Sloth is also at play. It's much easier to compare to our neighbor than to God's ipse, God Himself. So the solution, there are proposed two solutions, and maybe we'll stop there and then we'll talk on solutions, and then we have another, then we'll move into Sacred Heart. So it's much easier to compare to our neighbor than it is to God Himself, ipse.
If I could just say one thing here, too. I think sure. that in this modern world of, I think that we have a hyper worship of our own conscience and our own self, our own sense of self. And, you know, one of the things also that is fundamental to the fatherhood of God is what you had said before, is that He is the rule giver. And, you know, we don't like rules. in an egalitarian society where we all think that we're equal, we don't think that anyone has the right to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And so even that element of inherent rebellion that I know just as well as anyone else, that aspect of the lawgiver element of fatherhood becomes very challenging to the modern person, because they don't, number one, they don't want to say that they are reliant on someone else's for their own being, nor do they want to say that they must obey someone else to presume that someone has a rightful authority over them.
That's right. They want to be their own man. Modern man wants to be his own progenitor.
Right.
And that's of course impossible.
Right. In our brave new world, we're making it possible, aren't we?
Yes. Yes. There is that illusion, right? Yes. It is an illusion, right?
So,
all right, my friends, we're going to look at a few solutions to fatherhood and then transition into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. To the next time, Fides et Ratio.